Hello, my name's Kirsty James. I'm a digital skills officer for RNIB Cymru. I have Stargardt's disease and Charles Bonnet syndrome, and I'm registered blind.
Hello, my name is Kat. I'm a complementary therapist. I lost my sight 20 years ago due to retinopathy, optic eye disease, cataract and glaucoma, and I'm self-employed.
Hi, I'm Nikki Kelly. I'm a singer-songwriter and I'm also a community facilitator for RNIB. My sight conditions are optic atrophy and keratoconus, which were a result of intracranial hypertension.
Before I lost my sight, I was a hairdresser. So, of course, when I lost my sight, the standing joke was, you know, you're still going to cut hair, you know, kind of thing. I'd never met a blind person in my life. I didn't even know visually impaired people could even work or go to college. I didn't, at that time, get any help from the job centre. So I just assumed I'd be sitting around all my life, really, and relying on other people to help me. And then about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years after I lost my sight, I then found a new kind of like work coach at the job centre. And she told me about this place called Torquay Manor House, which in those days was a really good place. And people went there with sight loss, whatever, you know, whether they'd just recently lost it or if they'd been visually impaired for a long time. And you could go there and develop skills into what sort of employment you would like. So I was quite sheltered, really. I was wrapped up in cotton wool quite a lot by my friends and my mum and dad and my boyfriend at the time. So after my mum and dad moving up to Scotland and me finishing with my relationship, suddenly I was thinking, what am I going to do in my life? So I thought, okay, I will have a go at this Torquay Manor House. I only actually went for a week. Some people could go for 2 years, but it was actually closing down the kind of week I was going. And the night before, I cried, thinking, I can't do this. I've never been on a train in my life. I wasn't very good with my cane, and I didn't really want to go. And I remember ringing up my brother and saying, I really don't want to go. And he said, well, if you don't go, you might regret it. If you go, you can always come back. So I thought, okay. So I went all the way on the train, you know, really nervous, never been on a train in my life on my own. Yeah. The train didn't stop at my station. Nobody came to take me off and it just drove on again, you know. So I had to get off at the next station. So already I'd made up my mind, this isn't going to be a very good idea. Then managed to get to the Torquay Manor House and thought, what am I doing here? I'm not really sure what this is all about. I stayed in my room all night. Never came downstairs. I thought, yeah, breakfast tomorrow, I'm going to go home. Well, at breakfast the next day, I met quite a few other visually impaired people and I thought, they're all young, actually. They're, you know, I'm not the only young person, you know, that's visually impaired. I'll just go along for the assessment. Actually, I was there for a week and at the end of the week, I didn't actually want to go home. It was amazing. It opened my eyes, excuse the pun, about what visually impaired people could do. We went to the pub a few times. We went bowling. And it was just such a laugh. And the assessment I had actually showed that I should do something with admin, you know, either become a social worker or something like that, you know, like in the office. And I thought, that's not me. Not really sure about this, a bit disappointed about that. And then one of the staff was mentioning and asking if I knew this lady that was a complementary therapist and had been there, decided she wanted to do that and had opened up her own business. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I'd like to do. I used to be a hairdresser. I liked massaging people's scalps, washing people's hair. And I quite often did massage my friend's neck, you know, back and shoulders. When I went home that day, travelled all the way back to Cornwall, I got on the phone straight away to the job centre and I said, look, I found out about this place called Hereford, a college there for the blind and Loughborough for the blind, that I'd really like to go to. Get me there as soon as possible. You know, the courses start in September and this was May. Well, I didn't get round to going that year. It never really happened, but I felt confident enough to go to Truro College, which was local, and did reflexology anatomy and physiology and business studies. And I'd also, like Kirsty, got my first guide dog that year as well. So that really helped me. And the reason I did actually start reflexology was because after an illness, I went and had some reflexology done. And I couldn't believe that the woman said to me, oh, she said, you've only got one kidney. And I thought, oh my God, how does she know that? And I felt so much better after the treatment. I thought, yeah, this is what I want to do, reflexology. So I did that at college, got really good results.
How did you find being blind, though, at a college where everybody else was sighted? Did you have the right support?
I had a really good learning assistant who really encouraged me and helped me. I did have a lot of issues from the college because they'd never had a visually impaired person doing this course before. But for some reason, after going to Torquay, I kind of developed this kind of strength and determination that thought, no, you can do it and I will do it. The other students found me fascinating as well because they'd never met anyone visually impaired. And I actually could feel things on the feet that they couldn't because they were looking. So I would show them something on somebody's feet and they would say, well, I can't feel that. I can't see that. And I'd say, well, why don't you try closing your eyes and do it? And they'd feel and go, oh, yeah, you can feel it.
Yeah. So and how long after did you went to Loughborough then, didn't you?
Yeah.
How long after was that?
I went to Loughborough. That's right. I went before, that's right, the mainstream college. I found that really hard because I didn't really know how to use a cane. I didn't have a dog. I was thrown in at the deep end, really. I hadn't studied for years, really. And kind of, it was a bit, you know, whoa, what am I doing? You know, first time away from home. I found that very difficult. And I had to give that up after a few months because I got the MRSA bug.
Oh.
And I was really poorly with it. So I went home, that's right. And then when I was better, that's when I went locally.
Yeah, because you had a kidney and pancreas transplant, didn't you, before you lost your sight?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had a kidney and pancreas transplant in 2000. So I've had that 17 years now. And that's been amazing. Mm. So, you know, picking up any bug, you know, early on with your transplant is quite risky, really, for your health.
Mm. But you got through it.
Yeah.
And then, so 11 years ago?
Yeah, then 11 years ago, that's where me and Kirsty actually met, Nikki.
Yeah.
We met at RNC, didn't we?
Yeah, wonderful days, wasn't it?
So I went there to carry on to do my massage and Indian head and sports. And that was amazing. I really enjoyed it there. I had an amazing tutor, Jane Crabtree, who really encouraged me and didn't wrap me up in cotton wool, you know, the exact opposite. You know, there was no learning assistance there.
But she is a guardian angel.
Exactly.
She's incredible,
helped me.
Yeah.
You know, and we still love her now, don't we, and just keep in touch.
Lot of grateful thanks to that lady.
Because definitely.
Even though I'm not a complementary therapist now, it's still a huge passion of mine and will always be with
that's
me.
That's right.
And it's what ground, you know, you just learn so much. It's fascinating, isn't it?
I went there for a year to do, and it was a full-on course in those days. We did anatomy and physiology for sports and massage. The massage, Indian head, sports. In our timetable was the gym. So we had to do circuit training. Yoga we did. Pottery to help with our hands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all sorts, you know.
Really
plus,
expensive.
You know, hundreds of case studies. Plus partying.
We did a lot of
social. The social side of it. And of course, when you finish that course, you think about your employment. Well, luckily, everyone knows me where I live. And a lot of my friends are beauticians or therapists. So I worked at a hotel locally, just a couple of hours a week. And then I was quite poorly for a few years off and on, but I did a lot of voluntary work for charities and did carry on doing my massage for disabled people until I became healthier again. Then I went back to RNC last year to do IT, music, radio and media. And that I thought I'm going to incorporate that with my massage because I really wanted to work you know, a hotel, but also I wanted to do blogs and YouTube and help with the website and Facebook page and promotion. So then I approached somebody that I'd known for years. Luckily, she knew about my visual impairment. We chatted loads about what support I needed. And now I work in a salon that I absolutely love, love my clients, love my job. I think complementary therapies has just changed my life. It helped me with all my illnesses, conditions. It's helped me help others. It's given me confidence, knowledge. And it's not a job. It's my passion. Yeah. I swear by it and I love it.
Yeah. So how did you go from, I guess, from having doing the courses to getting to employment? Did you have to apply and did you face any barriers when you were applying and going to interviews, or were people being, were making that process accessible for you? Was there,
it was quite difficult 11 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I did know a few people and, you know, worked in different places, but I also went for job interviews where people didn't know me at a hotel. And I had a support worker come with me and they would ask her questions while we were sitting there. Like, how is she going to manage the stairs?
And how did you respond
to
that?
I said, I looked at her and said, I can manage the stairs fine, thank you, with my dog. But in those days, I was a bit defensive and thought, well, I don't want to work here anyway, you know, if that kind of attitude. But I think a lot of people are scared because I've even applied for voluntary jobs with my guide dog to give Reiki to dogs and massage dogs in like different dog charities. Yeah. And they, you can tell, they just look at you and think, well, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't, you know.
And so do you think then, so somebody who's facing some of the same challenges, do you think like how, do you think they overcome that? Do you think it's about them knowing?
I think it is educating people. I think people are quite defensive and angry when you do get turned away or let down by somebody. But I think before I lost my sight, I couldn't imagine people working if they were visually impaired. Yeah. When I lost my sight, I sat there and thought, who's going to make my cup of tea for me? I sat there thinking, nobody's coming round till 10 o'clock this morning. I want a cup of tea now. It's 8 o'clock. And I just got up one day and thought, well, I've got to try it myself, you know. And, yeah, there were spillages everywhere and, you know, it wasn't quite your perfect cup of tea, but I realised that you can do things. Yeah. And obviously I didn't know that visually impaired people could go to college, could travel all around the country. I travel all around the country, you know, on trains, planes. And I think it is just educating people, really. Yeah. And maybe going to demonstrate that you can do something if you do get knocked back.
And taking it in little steps, you know, being patient. You know, you will get there and you will get whatever life you choose you want. Mm. And whatever, because everybody's different, aren't they? Yeah. Their goals are different. Yeah. But taking little steps will gain you in the
definitely.
Long time. You know, giving yourself a pat on the back when you achieve
just
the little things
that
just...
And what can be hard as well is like, you know, if you're new to losing your sight and new to having a guide dog or a cane, you're adjusting to that yourself. And, you know, if you are out on the streets or whatever and people are stopping you and asking questions, not only are you trying to adjust to that yourself, you're also trying to educate people as well. And there's quite a lot to kind of get your head around, but it's just a case of, you just got to keep pushing, haven't you? And then...
And learning what you actually want.
Yeah.
Instead of... So a lot of people will want to help and tell you what you should be doing.
Yeah.
But it's about what you want and your...
Definitely.
We still have a choice.
Yeah.
But it's about, just reflecting, isn't it? And then...
I remember saying, because I have a couple of PAs that help me, and I remember saying to them a few weeks ago, okay, you are helping me, but I don't want you to do things for me. I need you to enable me to do things.
Yeah.
And sometimes you disable me.
Yeah.
I think it's educating even your friends and family, I find, even.
And it does all boil down to clear communication.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, communicating. And you might feel scared, isn't it? Like, we're all scared to do it at first, but then it's like, well, actually, we're losing out.
But even when I do clients, they walk in and I say, I don't know if my boss has told you that I'm visually impaired. I say, but I've been doing this like 12, 15 years now and I'm very capable. Yeah. And they don't look shocked or they no, that's fine. And, you know, one client said, I dropped something on the floor and a client said, would you like me to help you? And I said, no, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And at the end, she said, I hope you didn't think I was being patronised. I said, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't mind at all. If I do need help, I'm not afraid to say. But I think when you do first lose your sight, you think, no, I can do that on my own, whether you can or not.
Yeah,
and you kind of like change your perception, don't you? Mm. And your mindset over the years. And I'm a lot more patient, a lot calmer. And I think as well with the complementary therapies, doing that side of things really helps.
Yeah. You mentioned as well that you've got a support worker.
Yeah.
So what support do they provide for you?
They help me with any forms I need to fill in, any shopping that I need help with, you know, even just going to clothes shopping. You know, it's nice having somebody with you to show you what sort of clothes are in the shop, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes a friend or family might think, oh, I'll just show her this, I'll just, you know. and even like me and Kirsty were saying, we never realised that there were so many food in supermarkets that we didn't know about.
Yeah.
And I think getting a PA to help you with those things is definitely enabling.
Yeah.
You know, it is, and you definitely encouraged me to get a PA.
Yeah.
And that was just, it does, it just helps you feel free because you're not relying on your family to
take you
shopping. You're going shopping and you're providing and that's like, it's such a, but it does take time to find the right support worker.
Definitely.
I also have a support worker with my current role, my job, and that's working really well and enables you to work and do your job and carry out the tasks like somebody else that is sighted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah, I can't wait to get a support
worker. Yeah, we've even been talking to you about it, haven't we?
Yeah, I'm so excited just to have that extra bit of help rather than sometimes it's like a little bit, if I know I've got to fill in a form or need to get somewhere, I do have a little bit of a internal
panic.
That's
right.
But if I've got a PA, you know, I can just say, you know, can you help me with this and just not have to worry about it, which is really excited.
And working is very tiring with a visual impairment. I think you get a lot more like tired quicker, don't you?
We didn't realise till we went to R&C that we didn't learn that ourselves. That I mean, I was told by we had a head tutor at the time that we saw once a week, and I said I'm absolutely shattered, and she said, "Can't." She was visually impaired as well.
Yeah.
You know, you have to concentrate even a lot more just to get up from your chair and walk out the door when you think, compared to somebody else that can see.
Yeah.
So you taking on all this work, of course you're going to be tired. I've always been the type of person that wants to get up in the morning to do something. So working to me is really important.
Yeah.
Really important.
Definitely.
Even if it's volunteering, having a purpose.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Now, you've just recently started a new role as well, haven't you?
Yes, yeah. So working as a community facilitator, which is just the ideal job for me, which is like helping visually impaired people to create their own events, opportunities, groups, and connecting visually impaired people to each other. And it's just the ideal job for me. And it's travelling around quite a lot, and you know, this week for instance, I've done quite a lot of travelling and I'm really feeling really tired and exhausted now. And the last few weeks have been fine, but this week has really been like, oh gosh, I could really see where a support worker would benefit me.
And what do you do then to recharge and get your energy levels back up? How do you look after yourself?
So sleep, the big one. But I am a musician as well, so that's my recharge. So I play piano and guitar, a little bit of ukulele,
which is
pretty cool. And so yes, that's what I use to try and keep me and the straight and narrow, I guess. Because, you know, after a full day at work and just life in general, you need something that just takes your mind off all of that.
Yeah.
And that's what music is for me.
And what about you, Kat? What do you do to recharge your
energy? So, recharging my batteries, I like to meditate. I like to be on my own because I'm with friends and clients and people all the time,
yeah.
which I love. I love being social, but I need my own space as well. I love doing yoga, walking with my dog, singing, listening to music. I find that very therapeutic. Learning things and study. I think we should all learn and study things all the time, even if it's just documentaries or things on the internet. And
that's what we do. We do all the time, and we have a lot of passion of talking about things that we're learning about.
That's right.
And
What's your recharge?
Mine is definitely having alone time.
Yeah.
Being on my own, having a bath, and I practice Reiki, meditation and mindfulness, and just meditating and just being at one with myself, and definitely healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keeping on track, and sleep.
Mm,
I have to be in a routine of sleep because as soon as I miss hours and try and do too much, that's when my child's body kicks off and I'm hallucinating all the time.
That's
and
right.
I'm just no use to anybody. I can't think. Mm. That's probably been a really big bonus of losing your sight, is that you do have more self-care. You're more aware of your needs and making sure they're met, I think, is definitely a good healer.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we've talked quite a lot, haven't we, girls, about our different approaches to our sight loss and our different jobs and roles. And I think hopefully people will think this is a negative situation that's happening to me at the moment with my sight loss, but there's positives out there and we can turn it around to do what we want in life, and especially with technology nowadays as well, changing all the time to help visually impaired people. And I think complementary therapies are a brilliant way as well for visually impaired people to, you know, learn and get on. And I think we've all done a good job tonight in trying to inspire people with all different sight losses to do what they want.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you, ladies.
Very positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye. We'd love you to join the conversation. If you would like to let us know how you feel about the subjects we have covered today, please tweet us at RNIB Radio or email radio@rnib.org.uk. Or you can even get in touch using the Contact Us button on our fully accessible website, rnibconnectradio.org.uk.